Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
I know listeners will be aware about the planning permission granted for apartments on a part of the site at the former Irish mother and baby home at Bessborough in County Cork. Provision provided for about 140 apartment units on a part of that site. And local historian in Galway, Catherine Corliss, is with me here in the programme. Many of you know of Catherine from her research and extensive work into the former mother and baby home in Tuam in County Galway. But Catherine, you're with us today because you've really kind of spoken out in relation to the site at Bessborough and Cork.
Well, Andrea, I have indeed, because there's a super group down there with Carmel Cantwell, and she's doing her best with her group just to do the right thing. But I'm just adding my voice to help them, because it's just horrific, and it's worse than Tuam, really. It's just worse than Tuam's story, and I find it very hard to comprehend what's going on there.
So the council had provided, it was conditional, permission had been granted for the development of about 140 apartment units on a part of the site. Isn't that right, that's based in Blackrock, Catherine?
Yes, but the thing is, the nuns won't give the information where the babies are, and I've no doubt that some of them have to know. And it's just the site that they're building on. It's right beside where the mothers give birth, and it's just totally wrong, and I can't get my mind around it, what's happening there, and how there isn't an outrage. Yeah,
I know ex-residents and campaigners have objected to previous calls for development or previous attempts to develop at the site, because they're really kind of, a lot of them were afraid that it would nearly encroach on maybe potential burial sites that have yet to be found, Catherine.
Well, that's just it. Nobody seems to know, or they're not saying where those babies are buried. And if they go in, I know the city council have agreed to bring in an archaeologist. Mm. But I mean to say, bringing in an archaeologist along with heavy machinery. I mean, there, a lot of damage can be done if for potential burials there. It needs to be test excavated first, at least.
Yeah. I would have assumed that would be what would happen, that the archaeologist and potential excavation would take place in advance of development.
Well, absolutely. That's the way it was done in Tuam, and you see what materialised out of that. But I think it's just things are being done in a rush, not giving people a chance. But all I can say is, it's just if any families if a child was kidnapped or anything or went missing, one child, there would be an outrage, wouldn't there, to see where that child was? Is there a potential that could be on the grounds there? And the guards would be in. But I just wonder, these illegitimate children, do they not seem to matter?
Is it 64 children, the graves that are known to have been recovered? Is that right, Catherine, to date?
Well, I haven't done research into Bessborough at all. That is Carmel Cantwell. She has done quite a lot.
Yeah.
But as I said, I'm just adding my
voice
to say
to
how
the
wrong
support.
It is, how okay. terribly wrong it is.
Well, just when you mentioned Carmel Cantwell, Carmel's with us here as well, Catherine, on the line today, because Carmel's the lead campaigner of the Bessborough Mother and Baby Home Support Group. I mean, you even know your own personal connection through your mum as well, Carmel, don't you, with Bessborough?
Yes, my mum was in Bessborough in 1960, and he was born healthy, but through neglect and incompetence, he died at 6 weeks old. My mother pleaded for him to be taken to hospital, but it took them more than two weeks to send him. But what you were saying there with Catherine about the 64...
Yeah, 64 graves, isn't it?
They're actually still unmarked. I mean... we were told that my brother was buried in the cemetery in Bessborough, but actually a letter came about in 2019 from the Commission's inquiry that said he was buried in Cars Hill because he died in St Finbar's. But that is a site of 5 acres. It's walled in. There's meant to be 30,000 people buried there. So where on that site little baby William is buried, we have no idea.
You don't know. The approval or the granting of the planning permission For the apartments. And I mentioned, because it is quite a, it's a big site, isn't it, Carmel? So it's on a part of that site, is that right?
Yes, there's 60 acres left out the original 210 acres.
Okay.
And this is a one of four developments. So if this one goes through, the rest will follow and Bessborough will become unrecognisable. Bessborough is a place at the moment where my mother goes and everybody else that's been in Bessborough, when they visit, they go round the grounds and they visit. If the buildings are, go on there, it will be unrecognisable. We need a place that we can grieve. This was the last place my mum held her baby, the last place she saw him alive, and she put a plaque in the graveyard for him to remember him, and that's where she visits to remember him. And so do many others. 18,706 women and children went through Bessborough. Majority of those were separated through forced adoption. So it's not just those that died. It's all the loss and trauma involved around forced adoption.
And I know there's no insinuation at the moment that, you know, that there would be other developments, but that's your fear, is it, Carmel, that there could potentially down the line be?
This has been very tactical. This farmyard development was refused already. They put it in last year with another neighbouring development called The Meadows, and it got refused. So this time, tactically, they've just put the one application in, and they did it just a few days before Christmas, and it just went under the radar for a lot of people. So there were only two of us that put in objections.
Yeah. Now, it's the conditional permission that had been, it's for the 140 apartment block that we're talking about, her units in the Ballinure in Blackrock.
You have to look at it in its entirety, what it will end up.
What would you like to see eventually happen to the site, Carmel? Or what would you like to see eventually?
I think we should strive for the truth of what happened to these children, as best we can. We may never find them, but I think we owe it to them to try. There are certainly areas around Bessborough that I'd like to see investigated. And then ultimately, I think preserve what's left as a parkland, as a site of conscience, to remember what happened in Bessborough.
Okay, the parkland, okay, yes. That's what you think might work best there, down the line.
I don't think a monument does it.
Okay, so a monument isn't sufficient. It should be just sort of left as a kind of an open site. Whereas you say, Carmel, for a lot of people and yourself and families can go and grieve and remember loved ones during their time there.
So that the community never forgets, so that history isn't obliterated by these buildings.
Okay.
We must never forget what happened there.
Maureen is on the line too, Carmel. Maureen, you're a researcher and a spokesperson for the Cork Survivors and Supporters Alliance. Do you agree with Carmel on that? Should it sort of just really kind of have no development there in order to help people remember what happened?
No, I don't, because the women in our group are the mothers of the children who died in Bessborough and whose burials are not accounted for within Bessborough. So our group, at the heart of our group, are the women whose babies' bodies are in that landscape, and we've always put them first. And the development that is proposed for Bessborough still preserves a significant amount of the holding. So if you look at the site and break it up into what the current developer owns, he owns about 40 acres and he would be preserving about half of that. And if you add the other lands to it, the ones where the children's burial ground is located, then you're talking about preservation of the entire southern portion of the site and more than half of what remains of the site. Also, I want to address a few misconceptions. The excavation proposed by the developer was designed by Aidan Hart, who was on the forensic team for two. He's a forensic archaeologist, and he has proposed a forensic investigation
to be carried out at the site.
Carried out on all groundworks prior to construction. So anywhere where there will be a building, there will be an excavation before that. And it will be to a forensic standard carried out by the same people who would be hired by the state to carry it out if the state was leading the investigation.
Okay.
We were working on this for a number of years, and we waited for the state to step in, and they haven't.
And what would you like them to do now, Maureen?
I'd like them to CPO the children's burial ground and preserve it in perpetuity and mark it. I'd like them to accept the current developer's offer to cede lands on the development site to the council for preservation and for memorialisation of all the other losses that occurred at Bessborough, okay. aside from in Fendeb. Different people can approach it in different ways.
There's very divided opinions, isn't there, you know, about this and about the site. And I'm just even looking at a text here as well from one listener who says, I was born in Bessborough and was adopted several months later to a wonderful couple who raised me in a loving home. I was lucky. I recently visited the mother and baby home and it meant nothing to me as it wasn't a lived experience to me. My mother, on the other hand, though, struggled with the dark side and took it to her grave, her children not knowing about me until after her passing. Living mothers who went through the home should have voice in what happens to the site, but not a veto, says this texter. Look, I understand this is an exceptionally sensitive issue for so many people and you know, obviously different sides to this debate. Not the last time we'll talk about this on the programme today, but we did want to speak about it because, as I said, historian Catherine Corliss, who's worked, you know, done so much work and extensive work really in relation to the site at Tuam in Galway, has spoken out in relation to it, and that's why we're talking to Catherine here in the show today. But my thanks also to Carmel Cantwell and Maureen as well from the Cork Survivors and Supporters Alliance for joining us as well and sharing their thoughts with us on the programme. The email, if you want to join us, is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.